We're back. This is Old School, brought to you by the Mercado. This is we are sponsored by. Oh, I'm gonna start that over.
Am I on camera?
Yes, you're on.
Okay.
Your big ass head is on.
Damn.
Do I gotta end the recording?
No.
Okay. All right.
Just go.
All right. We're back. Old School, brought to you by the Mercado, certified Piedmontese, special ingredients and butcher shop. Two locations in Lincoln, 84th and Havelock, 30th Yankee Hill. 168th and Maple up there in Omaha. We have a special guest. He likes to think of himself as special. Nick Sainer.
I have never referred to myself as special.
Our ticket zone. He doesn't refer to himself as special. He actually refers to himself as Mr. Nick Upgrade Sainer. And neither, if you don't know, Nick it was at this time just getting done with college, or maybe still in college. And hadn't traveled that much, and he traveled with myself that had traveled quite frequently.
Yep.
And like to think that I had some sort of status at the different hotels, and I was blessed enough that the ticket took care of us to go up to Colorado last year, and I was staying on site.
Yeah,
but somehow, some way. Before we get into the sports talk, Mr. Nick had me waiting in the car for 15 to 20 minutes and came out and he got upgraded to the presidential suite.
It is true. Shout out to the Residence Inn in Boulder. I was not on site, though. You were able to be on site. You were able to be on site. I actually had like a 15-minute drive to Folsom Field.
Right.
But no, it was good. It worked out. I mean, we only were there for one night, so it didn't matter a whole lot.
But it didn't matter, though, because here's the deal. Here's the details that he's leaving out. And I always say that the gold is in the details. So yeah. I was staying on site, and it was kind of a last minute thing to where they were able to get me on site. And I thought, okay, well, cool. I'll be here. I can always be accessible, step in some other shows, so forth and so on. Me and Nick were riding together. I actually picked you up because you were there the day before.
I flew in the day before.
So I was your Uber driver.
I ended up taking your rental car.
Yeah, you ended up taking my. I mean, just that I get the rental car because I'm actually over 25.
I was
Nick's not over 25. I pick him up. I had to make sure he had got breakfast. I'm his Uber driver. We get there. And so I'm staying on site. I think I upgraded, right? Great place, great hotel. Yeah,
two
big,
beds. Though.
Big shout out to Blur and everything, and Jake Sorensen. Everybody had us all taken care of. I walk in there. Nick's like, let me check out your room. I have two queen beds. Now, you know, we're both. I'm 6'3", 250 pounds, 55 pounds. You know, I'd like to have a king bed. Now I got two. Now it's fine. Now we take Nick over there. He's like, Jay, you need to come check out my room. So as I walk in there. The nice lady at the front desk acted like she was talking to like the head coach of Nebraska. Oh, you know, Mr. Sainer, this. Go. And then it wasn't a regular elevator, people. It was a special elevator that you go to the presidential suites. Now, walked in. Nick had a beautiful room. He had a regular room with a living room.
I had the living room, and then I walked into
into the actual room, had to walk out on the balcony, beautiful, the mountains, had a, you know, the walk-in shower. You know, here's the caveat before we get into what Nick's thoughts on the spring game. Nick had put the lock on.
Yeah.
And didn't know how to put take the emergency lock off. So I had to use my experience for Mr. Inexperienced, Mr. Upgrade to get us to the elevator. But nevertheless, a good trip. Always a pleasure to have you on, though, Nick.
I was bummed that we were only there one night. I would have loved to stay in that room for four nights.
And I'm sure you know what, Nick, somehow they would say, you know what, the next three nights are on us, just comped it, right?
I just gotta find a reason to get back to Boulder.
Yeah, man. And well, anyways, Nick, I wanted to ask you about the second year of Matt Rhule. There's been a lot of change in the roster. I feel like obviously we knew the biggest flip, probably give me your opinion. I say it's probably the biggest recruiting flip in probably the last 15 years.
I don't think it's too far to say it's one of the biggest flips in college football history.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, and then, you know, back in the day where, you know, when people were getting paid, you know, Marcus Dupree was supposed to go to Texas. Next thing you know, Oklahoma shows up with it. We're talking about in modern day recruiting service. It might be, I'll even take it a little bit further, 20 to 25 years because of the timing.
It's the timing, but then I also think it's understanding the programs, right? Like Nebraska hasn't been a national powerhouse. They haven't been. And not only did Dylan Raiola necessarily say no to Nebraska once, he said no to him twice, right, with Ohio State early in the process and then eventually Georgia. So I think understanding the programs and where they were at, understanding what programs were kind of in his final list of schools. And now, ultimately, like the dad playing here factor was certainly a big part. Certainly his uncle Donovan being the offensive line coach probably plays a part into it too. But I think a lot of this was centered around Dylan too. I think certainly the family ties played a factor, but I think a lot of it was Dylan wanting to kind of, as they say it, and I hate to say it because it's so cliche and overused, but blaze their own path, right? Or find, create their own legacy. I think that's part of Dylan Raiola, because he, as we saw Saturday, has the ability to start anywhere.
Right.
Whether it's Georgia, whether it's Alabama, Ohio State, or even a place like Nebraska.
Right. And, you know, before we dive into Dylan personally, and we'll get into all three quarterbacks, my opinion is, even though we have one quarterback returning, Heinrich Herberg from last year, the whole quarterback room looks significantly different than last year.
Yeah, well, there's even prior to Matt Rhule, like with Adrian or even Taylor Martinez or even Tommy Armstrong, there was these dramatic drop-offs between QB1 or quarterbacks, the starting quarterback, and QB2 or QB3. And it feels like Nebraska fans are so accustomed to Nebraska's quarterback room experiencing an injury to their starting quarterback that either you need to lean on somebody in that room other than a starter for at least one game, or as we saw last year, for a lot more than one game because of injury / turnover issues. So Nebraska, it feels like for the first time, obviously with the two freshmen in that room, Raiola and Daniel Kalen, they have two elite 11 quarterbacks, which if you get into the high school, you know, and what do I want to say, accolades, that's one of them to hang your hat on. But then Heinrich Harburg, who I think we saw under Glenn Thomas, has been dramatically improved over the last couple of months. I still think the quarterback decision has been made. I think the quarterback battle is won, but that hypothetical drop off between QB1 and QB2, I think, is much smaller now than maybe it used to be in years past.
Right. And let's talk about Heinrich Harburg. I mean, I always say, I was just talking about this on Inside the Huddle, which comes on every Sunday, usually at 11 a.m., sometimes at 7 a.m. And I was talking about it, that actually it's three new quarterbacks, because I feel like Heinrich Harburg, actually his second year actually getting coached. He got coached last year by Marcus Satterfield, kind of thrown into the fire, burst on the scene just a year ago through spring. He was in a lot of the highlights and, you know, and he played a big role, you know, the first game of the year. He had the first catch, really, of the season last year. But I think the work in a short time that Coach Thomas has been here, he looks like a different quarterback. So when you look at that room, you're getting another player. What was it that you saw from Heinrich Harburg that looked a lot different or a lot better compared to some of the times that it probably wasn't up to snuff last year?
I think the mechanics, just simple mechanics, whether that's footwork. Nebraska, once again, going back even before Matt Rhule, quarterbacks haven't had the best footwork, right? You remember Taylor Martinez always chucking it off his back foot. And even times last year, whether it was Heinrich or whether it was Jeff, arm slots are really just funky from Heinrich. I thought his arm slot and his position was much better on Saturday than maybe what we saw last year. We know the arm that Heinrich Harburg has, right? We know what kind of athlete he is as well. I thought there were times maybe last year where he quickly resorted to the run. Part of that may be an indication of or indicative of Nebraska's receivers in 2023. I think Nebraska's wide receiver room is much more improved in 2024. But in terms of just Saturday, and obviously a small sample size, but the little pieces that I've been able to see in spring practice and stuff as well, just feels like he's a much more foundationally solid quarterback in terms of mechanics, fundamentals, arm slot, things
knowledge
like that.
Of the offense.
Just understanding, all right, what's the best thing for the offense in this position? We saw it Saturday in the spring game. He took off and ran a couple of times, and one of them was a really long run, which is great. You don't want to rely on that.
Right.
And I think that's one thing with like the RPO that I want to talk to you about at some point is like Nebraska's always ran this RPO type of offense,
but
as of recently, which is like obviously the run pass option for those that might not know. Such an important part of that is having a quarterback that can make split second decisions.
Sure.
And Nebraska hasn't had that.
Right.
It felt like, number one, Dylan Raiola did really good job at that on Saturday. But even Heinrich Harburg, you kind of saw him processing a little quicker on Saturday, which is an improvement from last year.
Yeah, I always say in any sport, you want to play fast and not in a hurry.
Yeah.
And I think the RPO, when it first burst on the scene, you got to think, I always think Taylor Martinez, what is it, that 80-some yard run against Missouri. And obviously he was extremely fast.
Yeah, there was a lot of them.
Yeah, straight ahead. But that was like, oh, this dude is can pick him up and put him down. But I think the best RPO teams can establish conventional run that the RPO benefits off of. That means everything kind of looks the same. And I think, you know, with Heinrich Harburg, one thing I've seen from him, which I saw, I saw a couple throws where he maybe reverted back halfway to what he did, but he self-corrected the next time he was throwing it. So that lets me know it's a conscious decision and effort to get better and to become a better quarterback. So now a better Heinrich Harburg, that means you're going to get a better Daniel Kalen. This is the next guy we want to talk about. Daniel Kalen was a Missouri commit.
Yeah.
And he has a funny story, or not a funny story, but a different story. You got to think, Daniel Kalen, when he was a freshman, was on JV at Bellevue West, went down to a camp, I think, in Florida State, got a Florida State offer. The quarterback coach here, Mario Verducho, was it Verducho?
Verduzco.
Sorry, offered him.
Yeah.
Was somewhat chastised for doing it by somebody higher ranking. Kind of the offer was pulled, but then he burst back on the scene and, you know, some things lost traction. He wasn't really probably ideally the fit that they wanted with the prior side. Because you got to remember, Mark Whipple got the quarterback from Massachusetts. Remember that? He had the connection
That's right, yeah.
And then so they kind of passed on Daniel Kalen. Missouri, who, hey, with our boy, stand on business down there, has a good quarterback and has put guys in the league. He committed there. But the one thing, Matt Rhule and those guys, they must have kept some sort of line of communication open when they got here. And then he came back and committed. It was a great get, a legit four-star recruit. Two of his teammates are coming. Showed a drastic improvement from his junior to senior year. And I think he really started off spring on a hot streak and showed some good signs yesterday, or excuse me, not yesterday, but Saturday in the spring game.
I think also with Daniel Kalen's recruitment, like, people might forget that. How do we start this conversation off, Jay? Talking about how Dylan Raiola was the biggest flip in college football history in the modern day. If that wouldn't have happened, Daniel Kalen was the highlight of this class in terms of the quarterback.
Yeah, right. But what could you flip them from? A legit top 12 team.
Yeah, in the
SEC.
Yeah, and that's the thing is we put this you know this label on Missouri of, all right, Missouri might not be this great of a program because we're from in the last 15 years not accustomed to them having so much success. Eliah Drinkwitz, as we kind of talk about every now and then, has gotten that program up and rolling pretty well. I think also with Daniel Kalen, just what a strange recruitment it was for him, because he had to play, I don't want to say second fiddle, but frankly the staff had to figure out a way to prioritize both Dylan Raiola in during those times of not being committed to a specific school, and then also Daniel Kalen, where it was okay, understandably so, Nebraska's going to prioritize the number one quarterback in the class. But also, don't forget, we have this, you know, four-star guy in our backyard less than an hour away that was one of the more accurate passers at that Elite 11 camp. Yeah. I believe he actually was the most accurate passer.
And he wanted to, he's always wanted to come to Nebraska.
To come to Nebraska. And so not only the first time around in Nebraska, maybe do him a little bit dirty with a previous staff, but the second time around, they said, we're going to have to go in a different direction because we feel that we have a shot at Dylan Raiola. And so then he does his own thing, commits to Missouri. Well, Dylan Raiola doesn't go to Nebraska, and it's okay. Hold up, now we gotta have another conversation. Just the timeline and just the path is very unconventional and unique. Now, granted, Daniel Kalen probably had opportunities to go elsewhere right before signing day, right in that couple of day period where you kind of knew, or we had kind of heard, all right, Raiola was going to be a Husker, and officially the signing day. He had conversations with Michigan State, but Michigan State brought in Aiden Childs from Oregon State, who followed Jonathan Smith to East Lansing. And so you sat there and went, okay, well, you feel like maybe he's kind of stuck in Nebraska, and you kind of wonder what the foreseeable future looks like for Daniel Kalen. Ultimately enough, though, here he is. And I think that number, as I mentioned earlier, I think the quarterback spot has kind of been determined at the starter. That 2-3, that second, that backup position is wide open, I think.
Yeah,
and Daniel Kalen has a great opportunity.
Yeah, and I don't think it's a foregone conclusion who's gonna start. I mean, obviously, you know, it doesn't take a rocket science to see that Dylan Raiola, obviously, look, it's no different when Andre Johnson walked through.
Absolutely.
When I saw Andre Johnson walk, and we had some really good receivers, Nick.
Yeah.
And I've seen Bruce Smith, and we had got the likes of Marcellus Wiley at defensive end. Bruce Smith is just moving a little bit different.
Yeah.
That's where Dylan is right now. But I don't think it's a foregone conclusion. I think if I'm the quarterback coach, I'm still pressing you to get better because there's things that you can get better at. All the while, I'm saying, listen, Daniel, let's make up some ground.
Yeah.
Let's make up. So you've made improvement right now. Let's see what you really can do over the next 3 or 4 months. Obviously, if I had to start a game today, obviously I'd probably roll Dylan out there. But you're right. The 2-3 battle. And also, it's not just the 2-3 battle. It could pay off because I'll keep going back to when Nebraska went on the road a couple years ago up there to Minneapolis to play the Gophers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tanner Morgan, who is more of a drop back quarterback, play action.
Yeah,
been there forever. He's been there so long he started to look like PJ Fleck. But in the red zone, they brought in Kramer, who was RPO, but he was accurate enough that you didn't have to just only play him in red zone. You could play him what I call the green zone. That means from 25 to the 40-yard line. You could actually play him on the other side of the 50. And then what he did was he made the Nebraska team prepare for another option, and it paid off for him. Those roles to be defined. And I'm going to say this about the quarterbacks. All three. Well, we know Heinrich Harburg can run it.
Yeah.
But Daniel Kalen and Dylan Raiola run it a lot more than people give it credit for because they think about the arms and the accuracy and all that. So – I think overall, you know, the whole spring game, I think they look like a better football team.
Yeah.
You know, as much as people were mad at special teams there, you know, you could take the kicking game with Tristan Alvano. That's something I think he'll correct. He's going to have to really get into it in the summer. But I think first, this is a funny thing. People are mad at special teams coverage. Well, if you have big returns, you can't be mad at the coverage. If you have good coverage, then you're going to be mad if there's no returns.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of, you know, back and forth. I think the emphasis on blocking up front is obviously drastically improved. I think the willingness to put guys back there that are really willing to take the ball and run with it, we don't have it anymore to where we had Martin a couple years ago, and he was an all-time fair catch guy with the previous staff. So you got, I think, a little bit more aggressive approach on the special teams. And I think defensively, even though a lot of those guys were out, you see the depth. You see Shavers. You see Van Poppel. You see the guys that you heard about last year. They look a lot different in a better way, and they are starting to make more plays. So I think the depth is there, and to have options, I think, is a really good thing for Nebraska.
I think a spot where maybe they have options as well as, wide receiver.
Oh, yeah.
I think a lot of options at wide receiver. Jamal Banks had a quiet day on Saturday, and that's fine. I mean, we're not going to, you know, obviously write him off. I think last year, Jay, you and I have had conversations both on and off the air about, all right, you go out a couple of years ago, Samari Toure, now granted previous staff, Trey Palmer, previous staff have a pretty successful hit rate on those two guys. But then you follow that up with Billy Kemp, who obviously just signed the undrafted deal with the Giants. Congrats to Billy, but did not have as productive of maybe of a season as we were expecting or hoping for, but also was banged up at times. Right. So being realistic there. Now, I think Jamal Banks has a higher ceiling. I also think he's starting with a little bit of a higher floor.
Sure.
Than Billy Kemp is. So that provides some excitement and optimism. I think then you bring in also Isaiah Nayor, who's intriguing on that side. But then not only that, those two guys, but it's the Jalen Lloyds and the Malachi Colemans, and just having those guys have a second year under their belt is big. And I also think we can clump the tight ends into this as well.
Sure.
The vertical tight end game, I think, is going to play a bigger part this year than maybe people thought initially, because we saw on Saturday they have guys that can block the perimeter, and they haven't had that. Nebraska's for so long, over the last 5-10 years, thrown those
bubble screens
now routes, horizontally, things like that. That's fine if you got perimeter blocking. Nebraska hasn't had that. They've had some soft guys on the edge. I mean, that's just being honest. I think there's going to be a lot of drag routes. I think there's going to be a lot of short crossing routes.
Right.
So not only is that more important for that RPO game of making those split second decisions, being on time, we maybe saw it a little bit on Saturday where things were just off just a little bit. And that's maybe some of those throws behind guys, just inaccurate passes. Some of those were catchable, But I think with the, when you look at this wide receiver room, it's a lot of athletes. And right. I think that only plays into this hope of, all right, if you want to throw the bubble screens, if you want to throw horizontally, the short crossers, make a 5 yard, 7 yard pass completion, let them do the work and get some perimeter blocking on the edge.
Yeah. I think there's always two ways to get physical. Obviously with your offensive line, you're going to set the standard and getting on guys and moving them, but you can also get physical extremely quick and fast out on the perimeter.
Yeah.
The emphasis by Coach McGuire of, you know, no block, no rock, right? You got to block. You even saw a young freshman, Keelan Smith.
Yes.
Locking up.
Who's guys. That hybrid tight end, wide receiver right. type of field.
But
out of Missouri, I believe.
Yep. Out of Missouri. Set the edge. Right. And so when you talk about that, whether it's Lindenmeyer,
yeah,
whereas Borkature, Fedoni, Carter Nelson coming in, fits right in there with this wide receiver tight end group where you have a lot of options, but you have to be able to do the job of blocking, you know, from a physical standpoint. Now, what is that? That's an extension of your run game. It's mm-hmm. something to soften the defense up to get the conventional run game going with the plethora of running backs that they have. And if they get Gabe Irvin back at any form or fashion to what he was, now you got a deep running back room. You got to think of the, you know, Bonner as well, you know, who had a really good game. He had 4 catches for 58 yards. He fits into like every skill position group on the offense, running back, tight end, hybrid, wide receiver. He can be a matchup problem. I know Nebraska coaches should be happy about the options and it should be more of an explosive offense. You've seen them have the ability to open it up a little bit more with all three quarterbacks. I feel like when you talk about Billy Kemp, not only was he banged up a little bit, but I thought they were a little bit strapped because of the inability to play pass and catch from the quarterback position. I certainly think they have that this year. I like the depth of the defense. I always tell them, look, the Monday after the spring game is so crucial. I know they have 2 weeks of finals, right? But we all knew you got to finish out school. The mindset and the quick switch to turn from spring game to getting ready for a real game mm-hmm. is crucial for a team in a football program like Nebraska because we can't afford a day off. We can't afford a week off. We can't ease into, now injuries aside, ease into the offseason summer program. We got to make up some ground so then therefore we can start to get to the bowl game level and then get to a major bowl game level. It starts today. So hopefully they're taking that approach.
Yeah, I think so. One last thing. I know you mentioned the kicking game and Tristan Alvano. I'll say this. I mean, you and I have seen him make some big kicks in the stadium. In that stadium, I think I heard a comparison the other day of Drew Brown to Tristan Alvano.
Yes.
I heard that comparison the other day, and I was going back and looking, and Drew Brown did not have a great freshman year, but Tristan Alvano went 27 for 27 from point afters, right? So like there's a piece there that you can kind of hang your hat on. And it almost feels like the farther out he gets, the more comfortable he is. It's those inside 40 yards chip shots that Nebraska really needs. Like those are going to be such difference makers. And can make, I think when you're a good team like Nebraska, they can, obviously those field goals, those quote unquote chip shots, will give you the ability to beat great teams.
Right.
If you find yourself in that game, now obviously you need the other two phases to really work, the offensive defense, but if that special team piece, I think so much of it is mental with Tristan Alvano. Yeah.
Well, that's what any kid.
It's not physical. I truly, you know, because I think there was a lot of folks on Saturday. I saw a lot of social media reaction of we need to talk about kicking. We need to talk about. I think if you're putting on your prediction hats, I think. I don't want to speak for you, Jay. I think we're both, though, saying Tristan Alvano is the kicker and Brian Buscini is the punter when it comes to opening day in the fall. So with that being said, this is a big summer for Alvano,
right?
It's like it's time for, okay, we could kind of chalk it up to, okay, year one of Matt Rhule. Okay, that's fine.
You're a freshman.
You're one of a kicker. You're a true freshman. It's a different stadium. The world wind swirling at the Power 5 level, whatever. Year two, you can't use those same type of, not cop-outs, but of reasons. And so this is a big summer, I think, specifically for Tristan Alvano to get over that mental hill or jump of being able to make everything from a 25-yarder to a 55-yarder. Because we've seen him make more, it feels like, 40 and up instead of 40 and down.
Yeah, I just think, like, look, you, a great comparison is Drew Brown. Obviously, he had to follow in his big brother's footsteps, Chris Brown, And Chris was great from the beginning, but people don't realize Chris missed a field goal early and he had to tweak some things.
Yeah.
And everybody always compares, you know, whether it's Alvano, Drew Brown, any kicker at Nebraska to Chris Brown, Henry, and all. Well, that's the end product that you were comparing him to. It's like a linebacker coming in here and getting compared to Jay Foreman or Barrett Rood or Levante David.
Yeah.
We all had struggles. We all had to mentally get over a hump to really have confidence in ourselves. This is a huge summer for him. I think he's a good natural athlete because he played highly competitive soccer. So he's had to deal with failure. So I think he'll do a good job of coming back at it. But in closing, Nick, you're completely on point. The ability to get field goals when you need them, what does it do? It chips into deficits if you're down, but it extends leads. Think about the Wisconsin game. Think about the Maryland game. Think about Michigan State. Just think about those games if you can get down there. And I think the way that we're going to play football early is field position, physicality, get inside the 30, smart, decisive with the ball, try to run it. We need those 3 points. It's a big summer for Tristan Alvano as well as the rest of the Huskers, all three phases. Overall, I think I saw some progress in the spring game. I want to thank Nick Sainert from 93.7 The Ticket, Mr. Upgrade, for stopping in here on Old School.
Appreciate you, Jay.
He will be back. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.